This is the kickoff to our new sermon series, which is Making Change. My heart for our church family this year is that we would just throw off everything that prevents us from experiencing God to the full. Like, that's whatever's in my life that's preventing me from connecting with God, I need to get rid of it. And so we just finished off the sermon series on the enemies of the heart and getting rid of those things that are in our heart that prevent us from connecting with God to the full. Right? So we want to get rid of greed. We want to get rid of jealousy. We want to get rid of anger and guilt. All right. So we want to get rid of all of those things. Well, the next thing that I got thinking about was this whole idea of making change. And I don't know about you, but money sometimes has this hold on my heart. And I feel like it's French class, okay? Like, you know how in high school you got to take, well, I'm not sure if it's still like that, but in grade 9, you had to take French. And then in grade 10, you had to take French. And then you had a choice. Am I going to take French again? And nobody, I'm sure some of you love to take French class, all right? But at the end of the day, I didn't really enjoy taking French class, but I knew it was good for me, and I learned from it. And as a result, you actually can do lots of things with French, all right? Like go to other countries and talk to them in French, like France or Quebec City or many countries in Central America or in Africa. So there's actually a benefit to learning about French. And for me, learning about money is kind of in that same category. I don't really overly enjoy learning about money, but I know it's really, really important, and it's never ending. It's never ending. I remember sitting in French class in grade 11, and all of a sudden they started talking about verbs, and I was like, I never knew that before. That makes so much sense. Why the Quebec license plate says what it says. I never understood it until grade 11, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11 years of French, all right? And it wasn't until grade 11 that I actually understood what je me souviens meant. It's like remember me. Am I right? Okay, good. For all those people that... It's been a long time since I did French. But that was like 11 years of studying French before I actually got it and understood it, okay? So I say this to encourage you rather than, because some of you will be like zoned out, like, what can I do for the next 4 weeks? I'll sit here and look good and look like I'm paying attention, but I'm really going to be like catching up on something else, making my grocery list or planning out my week. But I really encourage you just to get plugged in and say, God, What can I learn from this? And so we set up two things, actually. First is our treasurer, Debbie Jensen, is going to be doing a seminar or a small group for 4 weeks starting next Monday. So if you're bringing your kids to Awana, then plan on being a part of this. I'm planning on being a part of this, and I teach on this, all right? Because I want to know what Debbie has to say, because I want to be really good at managing my money so that God can use me for whatever it is he wants to call me to. So I don't want to miss out. So it's on Mondays at 7 p.m. starting October 28th. And if you can't make it, then I encourage you to have the Bible app on your phone. And Dave Ramsey, who is a money guru, put together a 28-day devotional on money management. It's actually quite good. I was challenged this morning as I was reading through it. And it is called Finding Your Financial Path. There you go. So make sure that you get plugged into that. It's 28 days. And you don't have to wait 28 days to do it all. I did about 6 this morning because I was behind. And so I just want to get caught up. But I really encourage you to get plugged in to finding out, what does the Bible say about managing money? How can I manage the money that the Lord has given me better so that I can be released to do everything that he's called me to do? And there's always something new to learn. And so we're hopping into this new series called Making Change. And for 4 weeks, we're going to go through this. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. And tomorrow matters. All right? So we're going to say those together, because it's important. All right, so here we go. Less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, and tomorrow matters. We're going to do it one more time. Less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, and tomorrow matters. And today, I want to talk specifically about less is more. And it's really hard to talk about less is more right after Thanksgiving dinner when I had three of them. And then I had leftovers. So, right? Because Thanksgiving is this, that's the meal that you like, before you sit down, you put your jogging pants on so that you can eat more, right? Like, that's what you do. Or you just undo the belt, like, underneath the dining room table. And you're like, so you can actually eat more. Because it is hard to sort of train yourself not to eat all of these wonderful good things until you step on the scales the next day and you're like, I'm going to have to walk a little bit further for the next 10 weeks to wear off like the one moment, right? Because that's often what happens, because we get sucked into thinking that more is better, right? I love this picture. Look at this. What does this mean? Look at how that just came right out like that. Buy one, get one deal. And you know what's interesting about these signs? It says things like this. Buy one, get one half off. Buy one, get one 10% off. Buy one. And it sucks you into thinking that if you buy the second one, you're going to get this wonderful deal. Because we believe that if one is good, two must be better. If one car is good, two must be better. If one TV is good, two must be better. It sucks us in. If one pair of shoes is good, then two must be better and four must be even better. Right? We get sucked into believing this. But I just want to say it. This is a big fat lie. Like, this is a big fat lie. Like, right from the beginning of time, when Satan came to Adam and Eve and said, oh, you need this apple, right? And what happened? The world came to an end. All right? Like, at the end of the day, that's what happened. He sucked them into thinking, you need to have this apple. They ate it, and life as we know it was no longer the same. So it goes right back to the beginning of time, where we get sucked into beginning that better is more. That you will be happier if you just have one more pair of shoes. If you just have a nicer set of tires, right? If you just have one more screwdriver. I don't know about you, but sometimes I look into people's tool chests and I'm like, why do you need all of those? Can't you just use one? And there is always a reason why you need 17 screwdrivers with all the different heads. And some of them are magnetic, like you just stick right on, and others are not, and you need things, right? Like, that is the explanation behind why you need 15 screwdrivers. And I don't know why you need 17 hammers. And then I get explained like this. Well, some are for roofing, and some are for, like, putting up studs in the wall, and some are for framing, and some are, and I'm like, but can't you just work on your muscle mass instead of, like, buying another hammer? Right? But I digress. See, I picked on the men, not the ladies, who say, but I really need that dress. But anyways, going on. We can be led to think that whatever I don't have is what I need, because more is better. And we are led to think this. We don't necessarily come up with it ourselves. We are told by other people. And this is why people go into marketing, to suck you into buying stuff. All right? So we are led to believe that we need more stuff. Like, that is going to be the answer to all of our problems. We will have peace if we have that hammer. We will have joy if we have that extra pair of shoes. We will be more confident if that shade of lipstick was on our lips, right? Like, that is what the world sucks us in to believing, is if you had this, you would feel better about yourself. If you had a certain look during a certain time of season, then you'll be with the in crowd and everybody will love you and you'll get so much attention because you look good. And I'm like, yeah, until next year when you have to buy something else. So, that being said, I want to focus on this verse. And we're going to say this verse a lot today because it gets to the point of the heart of the message. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the winds. Okay, can we say that together? One, two, three. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the winds. All right, now what is interesting about this passage is some believe that King Solomon wrote this. King Solomon had everything. There was nothing that King Solomon couldn't snap his fingers and get because he had everything. People came from around the world to hear what he had to say and to see the opulence of his kingdom. And yet he's saying, better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. So let's unpack that a little bit. So the first word that I want to look at is tranquility. I like that word. I tend to breathe in on that word, right? Because tranquility means this. It means contentment, rest, and peace. And if you ask anyone what they want in their life, more often than not, they're going to say the word peace. They want rest in their heart. They want to be able to sit down at the end of the day and go, that's good. People are looking for peace and rest and contentment. So better is one handful with peace and rest and contentment than two handfuls with toil. Now, what's interesting about the word toil, and this is all for you Bible scholars out there, it appears 21 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. And if you want to know what someone means by a word, then you see how they used it in other places in the same passage. All right? So toil in itself means work, and work is not bad. The author of Ecclesiastes goes on to say that you can actually find much meaning in work. So work in itself isn't bad. The problem that he's saying with work is it for the things that matter? Or is it like chasing after the wind, like things like you can never get? So are your hands full of working after something that you can never truly attain? Are your hands full of working after everything that doesn't really matter or will not last? Is that what your hands are full of? Because look at the image, okay? Better is one handful with tranquility and peace, than two handfuls of toil and chasing after the wind. Now, what's the problem with having two handfuls? I don't have a free hand. I don't have a free hand. Can you go on to the next one, Henry, for me? And Beth just answered that. You don't have a free hand to help someone, a free hand to have a cup of coffee with a friend, a free hand to take a nap, a free hand to just be at peace. Better is one hand with tranquility than two hands with toil and a chasing after a wind. When we fill our lives up with working after things that don't fulfill us, that don't matter, then we actually create turmoil and anxiety in our life. So the author of Ecclesiastes is saying, be careful what you're working for. Because is it really getting you the peace and joy that you are searching for? Because what's important is that we need to define what matters. We need to define what matters. And last week, I love Thanksgiving because we talk about what we're thankful for. Last week, I had you fill out cards of things that you're thankful for. And let me just read a few. Randoms. Goes like this. Family. Waking up every morning. Having money for food. Independence. My job. Another one says, love, friends, family, God, health, happiness, mom, dad, music, shelter. Let's pick out another one. My husband, my children, my grandchildren, my parents, my health, my job, my home. My wife, puppies. That's nice. Parents, family, house, education, nieces. Pull out another. Family, food, house, job, springtime. I think this one was written by Connie because it says Gary and there's hearts around it. And it says, I am thankful. This is another one. I am thankful for my family, my friends. Nobody said I'm thankful for my iPhone. I read through them all. I checked. No one said I'm thankful for the 1,000 apps that are on my phone. Nobody said I'm thankful for the new car that I'm driving. Nobody said I'm thankful for all the likes I have on Instagram. No one said I'm thankful for the new couch. No one said I'm thankful for the pictures on the wall. No one said I'm thankful for the new carpet that I just put on my wall, on my floor. If you want to put carpet on your wall, that's really 1970s, and I guess that's okay. But it was so interesting to read what people said they were thankful for. They were thankful for people and experiences. And they were thankful for their home. But nobody said, I'm thankful for my 1,600 square foot home that allows me to have 3 cars in my garage. Nobody said that. They're just thankful for a home. And so we need to start thinking about, is what we are focusing on, does it matter? Do we have that free hand? Do we have that free hand to actually hold on to what matters? Or are we working so hard and filling our lives up with things that really don't matter and won't last, like a chasing after the wind? So the first thing, and the reason why I'm talking about this, is because God has things that he wants to give us, but we cannot receive them if our hands are working after things that do not matter. Just like we talked about this morning, we said God is a good, good father, and he wants to give us things, because that's what dads do. One of the best gifts I've received from my dad was a hair dryer. We were at Canadian Tire, and I needed a new hair dryer. And my dad wasn't an extravagant giver. That was not his love language. But I needed a new hair dryer, and I had it on the thing, and he's just like, I'll buy it for you. And I still remember, and I kept that hair dryer for as long as possible. But that's just it, right? Like, our Heavenly Father knows what we need, and he wants to give it to us, but our hands are so full of things that we think that we need that we actually can't receive the things that God wants to give us. So we need to actually look through our stuff, the things that we're chasing after, and ask, is this helping me to experience the fullness of what Christ has for me and the fullness of family and friends and experiences? So how do we get rid of the stuff so we can experience the life that God wants us? Well, the first thing we need to do is cut back. Ask ourselves, do I really need this? In some of your basements, or maybe you have a parent like this, because I do, it's like a bomb shelter. Like, you could go in there and live for years. Because there's so much fruit. Oh, and there's a freezer, a chest freezer full of stuff. And then there's the 3 shelves of beans. Why anyone needs 17 cans of beans, I'll never understand. But anyways, beans, peas, fruit. Chef Boyardee, my dear, dear friend, is also there. But what happens is, once again, they're on sale, so we buy them. And then you have 17 cans, and then you go to get one, and it's rusty because it's been there for 3 years. Right? Because that's what happens. You go in the store, and you're like, well, if one is good, 2 must be better. Well, a friend of mine, she called her husband, and she's like, the mouthwash that you really like is on sale. I'm going to pick you up 2. And this is what he said. We don't have room for 2. And some of you are like, but it's on sale. They don't have room for 2. So she didn't buy it. But it was one of those things like, do we actually stop ourselves from purchasing something? Because maybe we really don't. We think we need it. But we really don't need it, because we all live close enough to a grocery store. Like, none of us live in the Northwest Territories, okay? Like, Walmart for most of us is 5 minutes away. or like the Hasty Mart, two. So if you need something, it's right there. And just to let you know, unless you've had garlic, you can go without mouthwash for a little bit. Okay? Like just, but are we willing to actually cut back and ask ourselves, do we really need it? Jesus said this. He said, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. So just because something is on sale doesn't mean that we need it. Like, I avoid going into stores because I don't want to get sucked in. Some people are like, you go into Costco. Like, I never, don't get the cart at Costco. Don't get sucked in. Just go in with your one hand. And whatever you can carry in your one hand, that's what you should take out. And make a list. Don't get sucked in by the really nice people who are giving you food. All right? It's true, though, because we get sucked in. And do we really need it? Because our life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. We need to be guarding ourselves. So first thing is cut back. Ask ourselves, do we really need it? Because it will then take up space that probably something else needs to come in and take up. And that's why. Because Jesus has stuff he wants to give us. This full life thing that's better than the 17 cans of peas or the 4 pairs of shoes or the 7 hammers. All right? Next. So look at this. Better is one handful with tranquility than 2 handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Contentment and peace versus anxiety and unrest. Let's just stop ourselves and say, do I need this? The second thing is this. Clear out. Can you let it go? So I'm reading this book called Beyond Blessed. And it talks about, it's written by Robert Morris, and talks about just getting rid of stuff. And asking the Lord, like, can you help me get rid of it? And so I'm feeling really convicted as I'm reading this book and getting ready for this message. And I'm like, okay, I'm a book hoarder. I love books. I love touching books. If you have a bookshelf at your house, I will come over to your house and I will, like I go to Paul and Karen Francis and they have these, and they're talking and I'm looking at the books. And I'm like, oh, look at those books. Gardening, bees, farming, geography, like all these wonderful books. I just want to sit there and I want to look through them. And then I want to have them. It doesn't matter what kind of books you have. I want to look at them. I can't explain it. I just do. And as a result, I have a bookshelf at my house and in my office and in the bathroom at my office. And at my mom's house, I still have books there. It just goes on and on. I love books. I felt convicted to get rid of my books. I'm like, okay. So the first, and this is what I felt I needed to do, five books a day. 5 books a day, 5 from my office, and then 5 from the church. It just went back and forth. Man, first day, no problem. Second day, okay. I've been doing it since Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's a lot of books. And by the time I got to yesterday at my house, I'm like, okay, I can do this. And I realized I had books that people had given me on my ordination 2006 that I had never opened. But because they had a really nice inscription, on the day of your ordination, we just wanted to give you this. We love you, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I have moved this book from Hardington to Neil and Tammy's. Neil and Tammy's to where I used to live, from where I used to live to where I live now, and I've never opened the book. I have dusted around that book. I have moved that book from one bookshelf to another. It has been many places except in front of my eyeballs. So this is what I did. Dear Lord Jesus, would you help me to release this book? I feel really bad. I've never read it, but obviously I'm never going to. Would you help me to release it? And I ripped out the inscription, closed the book and I took it to Value Village. And so I have a couple pages that I've ripped out and I've kept the page, but I've given the book away because obviously I'm not going to read it. I've had it for 13 years. That's older than some of your children. And I've never read it. But I needed, there was an emotional attachment, and that's what the problem was. There was an emotional attachment that I needed to say, "Dear Lord Jesus, would you help me release this book?" I'm sitting with my mom a few weeks ago at the dining room table. That was my grandmother's on my dad's side. And she says, "So what are you going to do with all of my stuff when I die?" And I'm like, "I'm selling it." And it was like out like that. And she was like, "Ah!" And she's like, "But what about the table?" And I'm like, "Mom, I live in a one-bedroom house. I have a dining room set that I really like." She's like, "But this is a nice table." I'm like, "I have a nice table now." And I'm like, "Maybe one of my other cousins will want it." But, like, am I willing to clear out? So beyond the books, I also cleaned out all of my closets yesterday. And I must say, I feel a tremendous amount of peace. Not that you can see it, but when I walk into my house, I have peace. And that's one of the things that we prayed for when I bought my house, was it would be a place of peace. But if I fill it up with junk, it becomes a place of anxiety and unrest, because every time you look at something, you feel like, "I need to clean that up. I need to look at that. I need to deal with that. I need to, right? But if you clean out the junk and get rid of the clutter, peace comes in. And we're looking for peace. And I have experienced more peace this week in the giving away of stuff. And you know what God has replaced with it? The truth of His Word. I have learned so much about God this week by getting rid of stuff, because I actually have room in my life to hear His voice. And that's what we want. We want to be able to hear the Lord's voice. We need to be willing to clear out. The Bible says this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." My treasure was in my books. My treasure was in my stuff. And I needed to say, "Dear Lord Jesus, would you help me to release this? This gift was given to me. I've worn it, but I'm done with it now. Help me to release my stuff." And for some of you, you have stuff in your home that has been passed on, and yet the only reason you have it is not because it brings you joy, but you feel conflicted on the inside because you're afraid of hurting someone's feelings if you get rid of it. So it's actually bringing you pain and anxiety and not joy. And that's not what God has for us. He doesn't want us to be caught up in the stuff of life. He wants us to be caught up in the joy of life, joy in relationships and hanging out with people. So we need to be mindful of that. Next, it can be hard to let go of your stuff. I know. It's hard. There was some things that I was like, because I had set a goal, 5 things for every closet. You need to get rid of 5 things out of every closet. Wow. 3 was usually easy. 4 and 5 was tough. And I started praying this: "Dear Lord Jesus, what don't I need? Because I don't want to miss out on what you have." And if it, my stuff is, because what happens is when you go through your closets, you're like, "Well, maybe I'll wear that. Maybe there'll be a party. Maybe I'll lose 10 pounds. Maybe it'll be cold enough," right? We go through. And there are some things in your closet that you have touched 17 times and they bring you stress and anxiety every time. Because if it's a weight thing, then you're like, "But I'm going to lose the 10 pounds. But you've been saying it for 15 years. So actually that item brings you stress. Just get rid of it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Next. "Because better is one handful with tranquility than two with toil and a chasing after the wind." Our hands, we need to like empty the stuff out of our hands so we can actually receive the tranquility and peace that Jesus has. So how do we get less stuff so we can experience more life? We cut back, we clear out, and we pay off. And we pay off. Next. "The borrower is a servant to the lender." We often forget that when we owe money for the things that we have, we actually are serving someone else. Because look at this. It says, nobody ever said debt helps me feel peace and my monthly credit card payment calms my soul. Nobody ever said that. If you did, could you come and teach me? But nobody ever says stuff like that, right? And this is how you feel. You get your credit card and you're like, ugh. Right? That's not joy. That's not peace. That's not tranquility. That's not rest. That's anxiety. That's fear. That's not what God has called us to. We don't want to be a servant to the lender. And because having a 1997 car that's paid off and running is better than a 2019 car that has payments on it that you can't afford. Living in a smaller home where the payments are small is better than having arguments with your husband or wife over who paid this much for that thing. It is so important to actually step back and say, is it worth it? Is paying whatever it is for this item worth it? Is it worth the stress in our marriage? Is it worth the extra hours at work? Is it worth the stress that I feel between me and the Lord? Is it worth it? There's nothing wrong with having stuff. I want to say that again. Because you might think I'm anti-stuff. I could live in a tiny home. I'd be fine. But I'm one person. So, and if you have kids, you need stuff. I was at a baby shower yesterday. I'm like, I didn't know you needed all this stuff for a baby. Anyways, I'm like, right. But better is nice stuff that you own than a bunch of junk that owns you. Okay? Better is nice stuff that you own that you're not making payments on than junk that owns you. Because you know what? After the 7 years of paying for the TV, you're going to have to get a new TV that you're going to have to make payments on. Says the child. See, they already know. They already know. I came home from vacation last week. I have not turned on my TV in a week. In 11 days. I've managed to survive. So now I'm thinking, do I really need the unlimited internet if I'm not going to watch TV all the time? Like, those are the kinds of thoughts I'm having. Because we start thinking we need stuff. But I want to say this, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So he already knows what you need. It's us asking him to change the way that we think so we can actually receive the things he wants to give us rather than things that we think we need. And so, in this verse again, better one handful with peace, rest, joy, than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind, things that just don't matter. Are you focusing on the things that matter? So the question is, you know, look at this. The richest people are not those who have the most, but those that actually need the least. Those are the richest people. The people that need the least are actually the richest people. It's not about the newest iPhone or the newest technology, whatever, the next style. It really is. Is our life full of those things that I talked about? Is our life full of family and friends and connections and experiences? Some of my favorite times on my vacation with Shelley was when she was just telling me about all the movies she loved to watch and just listening. That's really hard to do if you don't have time to spend with people. Because we're chasing after paying off things that we really didn't need in the first place. There's a storage unit beside my house. So I Googled to see how much it would cost to rent now that I need to. But I thought, you know, I just wonder. For a 5x5 foot, it's $75 a month. 5x5 is not very big. So I thought, well, what's a decent size? For $150 a month, you can rent a nice size storage unit. Times a year, someone quick, 12 times 150 is? 1,800. You know what you can do with $1,800? Go to Costa Rica for 5 days, all inclusive. I'm a vacationer. These are things important to me. And you can take a friend. So the vacation that you've been wanting to spend on with your husband for the last year, if you got rid of your storage unit, you could actually take. says Jen, the professional vacationer. But this is the way I think. What do I want my life filled with? Do I want it filled with stuff that really brings no meaning, or do I want it filled with people and opportunities for God to use me? That's it. So that being said, your life is too valuable, your calling is too great, your God is too good to waste your life on meaningless things. Next. Because better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. So what are you chasing after? What are you chasing after? So the first question is this, because I want us to think about it. Have you thought you would be happier if you just had ... I'd be happier if I had that new mascara. I'd be happier if I had new tires, the bigger tires, the rims. I would be happier if I had shiny rims on my car. Right? Would you be happier? Have you ever said that? I would just be happier. The Apostle Paul says, I've learned to be content in all situations. So maybe we need to be praying for contentment. Secondly, says, are you spending your resources on the things that matter most? Are you spending your resources on the things that matter most? Thirdly, do you have peace? Do you have a peace that only comes from knowing Jesus and the joy that he can give you? Or is your life so full that you're chasing after so many things that you wonder if the anxiety is ever going to end, if the bills will ever be paid and completed? Are you wondering? But I want to encourage you today that if you have peace with Jesus, then he will give you everything that you need to work out your bills. Because as you surrender things to him, he starts to work things out. They don't just disappear. Their credit card statement number at the bottom doesn't just disappear miraculously when you surrender it to Jesus. But your spending habits start to change as you surrender that to him. Or have you surrendered the way that you spend to Jesus? God, I need you to help me to spend the things on things that are important to you, not just me. Because that brings peace too. And so as we close off today, I know I had to search my heart and say, God, am I spending on things that matter? John the Baptist said this, I must decrease so you can increase. So we need to be spending less, focusing less on ourselves so that Jesus can actually increase in our lives. And that's where peace comes. And I know I've said peace a lot today, but you'd be surprised with the number of people that keep saying, I just want peace in my life. I just want peace. Well, then are you after what matters? And so as we sing, I want you to be thinking about that. Do I have the peace that only Jesus can offer? Am I experiencing that peace? Because if you aren't, then you need to ask yourself, well, do I actually want that peace? And if the answer is yes, then the next question is, well, am I willing to do what I need to do to receive the peace that Jesus gives? Because you might want it because you don't have it. But unless you do what it takes to get that peace, which is a surrendering to him, then you won't experience the fullness of that in your life. And so I'm going to pray. We have these things called prayer rails that are just a place where we come and spend time with God. And we ask him stuff like this. Because you might be feeling stirred up on the inside. And you're like, I need to do something with this. This is what you need to do. Lord, why am I feeling stirred up? And do I need to come forward and be public about it? Because sometimes when we're public about things, it just makes it so much more real to say, I need help in this. And would you come and help me? And your church family will come and pray with you. They're not going to, you know, pry in and say, what's going on? They're just going to come alongside you and pray. But this is one of the best places where you can ask God those questions and receive what it is that he needs to give you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that when we decrease, you increase in our lives. And so I ask in your name, would you show us the things that we need to release? Would you show us the things that are filling up our hands so that we are experiencing anxiety and turmoil rather than your joy and your rest? your contentment? Lord, what are the things that we are missing out on because we are chasing after things that really don't matter? But Lord, what matters more than anything is relationship with you and relationship with the people in our lives that you've placed there. And so, Lord, would you reorder the way that we think so that we can experience the fullness in these relationships? You said our worth is not in our possessions and we cannot take anything with us, but what we can take is our friends and our family. And so, Father, I ask in your name that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would help us to hear your voice and to respond and to release things that have no meaning. And Lord, would you show us a glimpse, a taste of the things that you offer when we choose to put you first place at the top of our stuff. And so, Lord, we ask that you would come and speak to us now through the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, would you break the power of any lie that we would be believing right now that says, I need this, I'd be happier if, oh, just one more. Lord, would you break the power of that in the name of Jesus, and would you pull us out from underneath the lies that we've been believing, and would you put your truth in our innermost being and help us to live out of that? And we ask this in your name. Amen.